to Golf for Good, the podcast, the show that climbs more than mountains. I'm your host, Natalie Crampton. Each episode, we go beyond the trails to uncover the stories of challenge, change, and charity that shape the Golf for Good community. Today, we're asking a big question. Why does giving feel so good? We're joined by a psychologist, Dr. Kiran Hillier, psychologist at Open Mind Centre Dubai and assistant professor at Harriet Watt University, providing specialised therapy and assessments for individuals and couples across mood disorders, trauma, addiction and personal development using evidence-based frameworks. And one of our own inspiring challengers, Judy Hill, who's been with Golf for Good to Ethiopia and Nepal and volunteers regularly at our Thrift for Good store. Today, we'll dive into the emotional rewards of giving, the science behind generosity, and the ripple effect of kindness. Good morning, ladies.
Good morning, Natalie.
Thank you for joining us today. I'm really excited for this chat.
Yes. Thank you.
Shall we jump straight in?
Please.
Dr. Kiran.
Yes.
What is happening in our brains when we give back? Talk us through this.
Oh, and our brains are so complicated, so I'm going to try and keep this concise. So I would say broadly the same thing that's happening when we're doing any kind of pleasant, rewarding experience is what's going on in our brain. And so you have a combination of both dopamine mm-hmm. being released. And so dopamine is something that activates you towards doing activities. It keeps you motivated. It gives you energy and it helps to can make those connections. So it facilitates memory for you to go, oh, I did this thing and it felt really good. But it also releases serotonin. So serotonin gives us that sense of calmness and contentment mm-hmm. that gets consolidated into melatonin in the evening. So it helps with sleep. And it also helps with memory consolidation for you to remember later, oh, I did this thing and that was really good. So then you're motivated to do it again. And it releases noradrenaline or adrenaline, which is going to give you the energy to actually participate in the activities that you're doing.
They all sound like fabulous chemicals that we all want running through our bodies and our brains. That sounds like something we definitely want. So is there a difference between giving time and giving money? Because I think, you know, we have two different types of contributors, the time ones and the money ones. Would you say there's different reactions within our brains when we
definitely, yes. Yeah. It is one where I'm very conscious how time poor people are, but mm-hmm. in terms of the psychological benefits, there's notably additional benefits when you actually dedicate your time and your energies towards it. And a big one is that sense of community and that feeling of purpose when you are collectively working on something together. Mm-hmm. And then particularly when you see the benefits of it, so you're able to participate actively with the community that you are contributing to, or you see the fruits of your labor, then mm-hmm. that's also very reinforcing that mm-hmm. you know where that energy and that money and that dedication is going towards. So if you can find the time to volunteer, I highly recommend it.
Got it. Okay, got it. That makes a lot of sense. And if we, Judy, let's move on to you. We're very lucky in that we've experienced a challenge together. We went to Ethiopia last year, wasn't it? I would like to talk a bit more about your give back, Judy, your give back journey. So we obviously did a challenge together. I know you work at the Thrift for Good store. When did your give back journey start? Is it something you've been doing for many years? Is it a new thing for you? Talk me through that.
Look, I grew up with a beautiful mum who always gave back to and volunteered within our community. And so that was a natural thing for myself and my siblings. And, you know, we were brought up that to know how lucky we were and to help others. So when I arrived in Dubai, that's when my journey started. I initially volunteered for the Dubai Autistic Centre mm-hmm. because I had an interest in autism, but it wasn't really the something I was looking for. And so I came to Dubai in 2005. So it was early on in the piece then. Anyway, then I went to a information evening at a friend's place, and that was for Ray in Ethiopia, in Addis Ababa, Ethiopia. And I met Dr. Caroline Rosler. So we were trying to raise money and raise awareness. And the rest is history. She encouraged me to become a volunteer and my journey started.
Great. I love that. And Ray is something very special.
Absolutely.
That we've experienced together. Now let's actually talk about Ray. We went there last year.
We did.
What moments have stuck with you over the years? Because I know you, I've only been once. I think you've been multiple times over the years.
My first trip was in 2013 and I went with a beautiful group of people from Dubai, but I'd only met them once before. And as you know, Natalie, I'm a highly emotional person. I'd never been to Africa before. I went for 2 weeks and there are a lot of tears shed, tears of joy, and just I was overwhelmed. All my senses were buzzing. And anyway, they still tease me to this day about the tears. And I've been going ever since. I generally went prior to COVID twice a year for the Christmas celebrations early January and then for the summer school in July or August. So it just really became a big part of my life.
Excellent, excellent. And I love that. And how do you, I mean, you've touched on how you feel and I can also relate to how I felt on those trips. One thing that struck me when we did go, that was the first time I've taken my children with me, which brought a whole new dimension to those trips for me, being able to see my little boys who were 5 at the time when we went and see them in that whole different environment. Being brought up in Dubai, we have a very lucky and blessed life. And for them to experience that was incredibly special for me and brought a whole new dimension to give back. I guess my question to you is, how does it feel to you to give your time and energy? Because you do so much, Judy. You're in the store. Oh. You're on trips. you give
Look,
so much
I
to us.
I am blessed. I am so blessed. And I think if I had never come to Dubai back in 2005 and was living my beautiful life in Australia, I would never have done any of this. Mm. So I have been given such amazing opportunities. I've met amazing people and I've just grown personally in so many ways.
Yeah. I think personal growth is a really interesting one, isn't it? Similar to you, Judy, I grew up with my mum, you know, teaching the values and, you know, being made to understand how lucky you are and what life you live. But my give back journey and getting involved with Goal for Good and the other charity bits and pieces that I do only really started after my divorce, so about 6 years ago. And I definitely feel like that's been part of my healing journey. Mm. So I'm going to move on to you, Dr. Kiran. Do you think give back can be a coping mechanism? Can it be part of a healing journey? And if it is part of a coping mechanism, is that a bad thing? Is it a good thing?
No, and I think sometimes maybe people take that term coping mechanism and kind of see that as, is it an avoidance strategy as opposed to coping? We tend to see as what's going to help you ride out the emotional waves that you're experiencing, what's going to help redirect your energies, give you that sense of passion and purpose again. So there's nothing wrong with a coping mechanism if you find that it results in helping to resolve the difficulties that you are dealing with. It then might be where you feel like you're using it as a way to distract yourself and avoid addressing sort of the core issue. Then that can be seen as problematic. But broadly with volunteering, in terms of the benefits of it, I mean, we are an inherently social species and we, that sense of connection with everybody is hugely beneficial for us in terms of our psychological well-being. So if volunteering is a way for people to expose themselves to new communities of people, a way for them to devote time to something that they are genuinely passionate about, then that's really beneficial. And I think that nicely touches upon what Judy was saying before around if you are going to volunteer, you want to find an area or a purpose that is truly meaningful to you and that you are willingly giving up your time as opposed to feeling obligated or guilty, something like that.
Yeah, I think that's very interesting. In Dubai, we have several different areas where you can allocate your time. Judy, you mentioned the autism project that you worked on. I know there's wonderful places like Canine Friends and the cat sanctuaries, the dog sanctuaries, and then Golf for Good for the children. So I think that is a very good point, finding your your place that you're very passionate about.
And your skill set as well, because again, sometimes people can feel like, well, what can I bring to the table? But, you know, a lot of these charity, non-profit organizations need even things like marketing skills or accounting or your ability to walk. So all of these different things means that if you are passionate, feel free to reach out to the organization that you're interested in and let them know, because I am sure they will be able to find something for you to do and a way for you to contribute that utilizes your strengths and is maybe mindful of things like the amount of time that you can dedicate as well.
Exactly. And that's a great point for me to mention, that Golf for Good, we have an office here. So those skills like finance, marketing, HR, they're needed. We do have some salaried employees, but we do rely very heavily on volunteers. And then, Judy, I don't know if you want to just quickly, if anybody's listening that would like to volunteer, Thrift for Good, the type of skills that you need in the store there.
Oh, wow. That's huge. Really anyone. I just during COVID, I was looking for something to fill the gap because I couldn't get to Ray and the Palm shop had just opened. So I just finished exercising and in I walked, and suddenly I was part of the Thrift for Good volunteer team. And it was so easy. And yeah, look, it's great. All skills are needed. I mean, I'm very much front of house because that's my thing. I'm a customer service background person, having been in the airline for many years. So I love being in the shop, talking to people, helping them stage their outfits, et cetera, pricing, whatever else. Other people don't want to do that sort of thing. They want to be back of house. They want to be sorting, steaming. Then there's the really creative people. So they want to be mending some of the items that come in. And as you said, we need people to do videoing, marketing. One of our volunteers, Bron, is really good with the high-end stuff. So there's a place for everyone. And I thoroughly recommend it.
Yeah, excellent. Okay, that's great. So anybody listening, you can reach out to Golf for Good or Thrift for Good.
Yes.
And we accept volunteers. Okay, let's go back to our topic, and something that I've definitely thought about over the years, and more so probably since becoming a mother myself, is give back and the intentions and the desire to do good. Dr. Kieran, are we born with it? Is it nature versus nurture? Like, what are your thoughts on that?
I mean, if we look at us as a species, as I mentioned before, we are very socially oriented as a species. We function better. We have a greater rate of survival when we function as a group. And so there's also a lot of, if you just look at historical texts, religious texts, there's always this sense of you want to be giving back. Now, is there then going to be personal differences in terms of people's willingness to do that, the innate sense of satisfaction that they get from that, and their own internal motivations to do that? Yes. But I think, as both of you mentioned, in terms of your upbringing, if that is a value that's really heavily emphasized as we're growing up, then it's something that people will naturally take on and continue on themselves. So as with everything in psychology, it's that combination of nature, our inherent tendencies towards being oriented towards each other, and nurture, how often and the way in which that is encouraged and reinforced both within your family and in your local community.
Excellent. Okay. So I would say, if you're a parent listening and you're, I guess you're thinking about the way, you know, when you've got small children, you really start to think about, how do I want to raise my children? What values do I want to instill in them? So would you say getting them involved in give back projects is a good thing to do, whether that's through the school, through the...
Yeah, definitely. And I think both of you touched upon how lucky we are to be living here in Dubai and the sort of lifestyle that we have. And I mean, I grew up in Australia, and just the area in which we worked, where we lived, My parents were quite conscientious about, you know, they wanted to send us to public schools so that we were mindful of the full diversity of our local community. And so then being reminded about these are things that we can be grateful for, these are difficulties that other people are dealing with, can also help put things in perspective when we are feeling a little stressed or disappointed or frustrated. And it's not to say that those things don't count or should be dismissed because, well, other people are dealing with other issues or bigger, in inverted commas, bigger issues, but that it can help you to reevaluate and to see just how well you can cope under under other situations and the types of skills and resilience that other people have. And that can be really inspiring in terms of our approach to our own difficulties as well. So I think it's great for kids to be involved in their communities and to that sense of giving back. I think since like when COVID hit, everyone unfortunately but necessarily like became very insular. And so then it felt like you kind of got comfortable with sort of staying in your space. And so we have actually seen a drop in memberships when it comes to volunteering organizations across the world. And so we want to be mindful of the benefits, not just to our communities, but also to us personally in terms of those psychological benefits, but even physical health benefits. People who volunteer have, you know, they lose weight, they have lower cholesterol, they have better blood pressure readings, they live longer, they're less likely to get sick, their memory gets better, their overall attention, their energy levels. There's so many physical benefits, which is very heavily linked and integrated with our mental health benefits. But it's so there's only positives to get out of that as long as you are then finding something that you find genuinely energizing and rewarding.
Yeah. You mentioned putting things into perspective. That's something I struggle with every single time I do a trip, whether it's Ethiopia, Ghana, wherever I go. And one thing that, or kind of one particular moment that springs to mind is it was after an Ethiopia trip where I came back to Dubai. The very next day, I was going to Dubai Mall to have a facial. And I walked into Dubai Mall and all the commercialism, all the shops. And I went and did my facial and I spent a few hundred dirhams on this facial. And I cried because I felt so terrible that I just spent for the last 4 days, 5 days with these children in Ethiopia. And, you know, a few hundred dirhams goes a really long way there. And I really struggled with that. And what I've learned coming back from those trips now is I don't throw myself back into life anymore when I get back. And I can see, Judy, you're shaking your head. I like to come back to Dubai and slowly edge myself back into life. And that was a big lesson learned for me. I don't know if you've got any comments on that, Judy.
I agree wholeheartedly, wholeheartedly. Because all your senses are so heightened and to go from one extreme to the other, it's madness, really.
Yeah, it's tough. And you sit back down in Dubai and you've got a beautiful, beautiful meal in front of you. And then you're thinking about the children who are back in Ethiopia who may not have any meal at all that day. So,
I mean, it's changed me even, you know, speaking of that, me interrupting, sorry, but how I spend money now, definitely. I spend money very differently to how I used to, because we've always got those beautiful people in the back of our minds and, you know, how needy they are.
Yeah, absolutely. On to something a bit more positive. The most meaningful thank you you've ever received while volunteering?
Oh, heavens. There's so many. Feel very blessed. But something that really stands out to me, and it wasn't an actual thank you, but it was just the reaction from a group of beautiful women in Ethiopia at the Reyes School. We invited all the mums and the guardians to come for a Women's Empowerment Weekend. This was in 2017. And Carolyn and I flew in, and the joy, we had a donor here in Dubai who gave us special T-shirts. So we all wore these T-shirts. So we all looked the same. We felt like a gang. Mm-hmm. And, you know, Carolyn and I don't speak any Amharic, but the love that we got from these women, that was one of the biggest thank yous I could ever have had. And they were so grateful for, you know, what we were doing with them that day to try and change their lives and empower them. It was beautiful.
Lovely. Really lovely. Those smiling faces, they're just the best to see. So I know both of you have incredibly busy lives. We all do. How do you stay motivated to do give back? Life gets busy, life gets difficult. You've got kids, you've got work commitments, you've got friends, family. There's so much going on. Do you have any advice on staying motivated?
I guess one thing, and it links back to what the two of you were talking about earlier in regards to, I don't want to say like that sense of guilt, but that when we do come back to our day-to-day life and that sense of, oh, that discrepancy in terms of how we're experienced day-to-day life compared to other people. And so because then that can create for people a sense of, well, am I doing enough? Am I doing enough? And in terms of the research, it suggests that, you know, there is a dosage, an optimal dosage when it comes to volunteering, that if you do too little, then you're probably not going to get much. But if you do too much, then you feel like this sense of burnout and then you might actually be more likely to drop out. So the dosage seems to be like an average of around 3 to 4 hours a week. And so maybe that's a nice benchmark where it can be reminding ourselves that even those small moments that we can be doing that, whether it's an afternoon at Thrift for Good or a weekend or a trip, that collectively all of the work that all of these different volunteers are doing is leading to this really big impact. So being mindful about I am one cog in this machine that is helping to optimize this experience for these people that we're trying to help. So it's being able to go, okay, even those small moments is still going to be beneficial, both for me, although we don't want that, oh, I'm going to volunteer because it's good for me. I mean, that's a nice add-on, but that it's all of that collectively, you know, think of like the ocean is nothing but a collection of droplets. And so all of that coming together is what's going to lead to those really beneficial outcomes for these communities.
Absolutely. I think one thing that happened very recently to me, it was a couple of days ago, one of my lovely friends, she works for a big law firm here, and they were upgrading their company laptops. And she said to me, we've got 20 laptops that are cleaned. Do you want them? Absolutely, I do. Mm-hmm. And she donated those to us. And they're going to be sent out to a couple of different schools. And I think that was, you know, that what took her 30 minutes. She probably had an internal conversation. She got sign off on, you know, getting those laptops. And then they were handed over to me. That was 30 minutes of her time. And what I was explaining to her is the ripple effect from that. Those will go to schools. Those children will, and they're going to schools that have zero laptops at the moment. So it'll be their first bit of technology equipment in the school. Yeah. They will learn how to use those computers. Maybe they'll end up getting jobs in IT. They'll teach their children, you know, that huge ripple effect. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And that was probably 30 minutes of her time to have that internal conversation with her company. Wow.
And I think just her having that orientation to think, where can these laptops go? Because maybe for them as a business, this is a write-off. And so there's going to be other people who their mind just doesn't go there. They just think, okay, we need to get this out because it's taking up space. And so it's a nice question, I think, for us to be asking ourselves whether we're clearing out our closet. You know, where can these things go? Or we're updating our furniture or upgrading our tech, thinking about one person's, well, I don't need this anymore, but maybe somebody else can find benefit. Even broken
Absolutely.
IT, people can be taking parts of that. So
we've got a guy at Thrift for Good that was doing that. We had
amazing.
Tech for Good. I'm not sure if it's still going on, but me interrupting you.
That's
great. And so even broken pieces were acceptable.
So I think it is taking like a few seconds to just go, what else could we maybe do with this? Those little moments can have, as you mentioned, that huge ripple effect in terms of the impact it can have on other people.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And if anybody does have tech, I mean, our schools that we work with across Africa and Asia, we're always thinking the immediate things, stationery, pens, paper, but tech is the future, right? Mm-hmm. So, and we upgrade our phones and our laptops you know, and we've got amazing relationships at Golf for Good where companies will take those, they'll wipe them, they'll clean them for us, they'll get them set up like brand new and we can ship them off. So amazing. Anybody listening does have tech, reach out to us because we will accept it. I think finally, my final question to both of you, what would be your words to somebody who is thinking about getting involved, isn't quite sure if they're going to do the volunteering piece? What would you say to them, Judy?
Just do it. Mm. It's addictive, it's rewarding, and you get so much more back personally than what you give.
I like that mention of addictive because I did talk about dopamine, which has its notoriety when it comes to, you know, too much of it can then lead to more addictive looking behaviors. But when we say addictive here, it's that it is so you leave with such a high and that you are driven to, oh, I want to do that again. That was so pleasant. I think sometimes people see it as, oh, I'm already so tired. This is just going to sap more energy. But when I participate, I leave and I'm buzzing. And it's such a, I sleep better. And I feel like it's a way that I've been able to switch off my brain and not think about work-related stuff, for example. It's then my chance to focus entirely on something else, which then can be beneficial because then I'll re-look at a problem that I was thinking about a few hours ago and just having that mental break from it, I go, oh, this is how I could deal with that. Or, oh, that's not as bad as my brain was making it out to be. So really giving it a go, I would say. It's that trying it out, you're not going to lose anything. Even if it means going to a few different organizations to find your passion and to find what's going to be your best fit, and that will change, you know, what you do when you're 20 as a volunteer is going to look different to what you do when you're 60 or to what you do when you're 80, which is totally fine. But don't feel like, oh, now that I've gone, I have to stick around. It can be, no, this is just an experiment. Try it out, because also even if that's not a good fit, it might highlight to you why. And then they might have other organizations that they know of and that they will recommend to you, or you'll meet someone. It will then open it up, but you do have to start somewhere.
It sets you on that path to where you're meant to be.
Yeah, I like that. And as you were talking, I was just thinking back about what would I have aligned to in my 20s. That was pre-children. I'd have probably gone more down the road of like animal shelters. And then when I had children, it's more about children. And then I was thinking, I wonder what the future looks like for me. You know, it might be something completely different. And you don't know the different people you're going to meet along your life journey and different causes that become relevant to you and you become passionate about.
Exactly.
Yeah. Ladies, thank you so much for your time today. I really, really appreciate it. It's been fascinating talking to you.
It's been lovely.
Thank you for joining us for this heartfelt episode of Golf for Good, the podcast. If today's conversation has inspired you, share it with a friend and remember the smallest act of kindness can have a ripple effect beyond what you see. To learn more about our charity challenges, to get involved with Rift for Good, visit golfforgood.org. Until next time, keep climbing, keep giving, and keep believing in the good we can do together.